The following special edition is brought to you by Miles Finch Innovation, passionate about ideas, imagination, and facilitating a culture of innovation. Now, let's get on with the show. You are listening to Business in the Morning, conversations around sales, marketing, innovation, and transformative leadership. And welcome to the special edition broadcast series, The 7 C's of Creative Leadership, How to Build, Foster, and Facilitate a Culture of Innovation. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Tony Vengrove.
Good morning and welcome back to this special edition series on Business in the Morning, The 7 C's of Creative Leadership. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Tony Vengrove. Good morning, Tony. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. We are coming near the end. This is our 7th C. Today, we're going to talk about courage. I'm looking forward to this conversation. We have an exciting interview ahead. But before we do that, Tony, remind the audience, give us a series overview.
The 7 C's of creative leadership are all about arming leaders with actionable, pragmatic advice on how they can create a more friendly environment for creativity and innovation in their organization. You know, many leaders sit where they are today due to their analytical prowess and strong leadership skills. But let's face it, many leaders have outsourced creativity and creative endeavors out to agencies throughout their career, and they don't have a lot of hands-on experience in managing creative employees internally and creating the conditions for folks to be creative. So what we're trying to do is help those leaders sitting in positions where they have to lead innovation and really give them practical advice that they can use starting today.
Yeah, well, it's been a great series so far. I cannot believe we're already at the 7th C. Like I said, it's courage. So, Tony, why is courage so critical in this?
Well, I think everybody might be able to come to their own conclusion why courage is important. But as I like to say, it's probably the attribute that makes people go from good to great in this area. It's a somewhat softer skill or attribute. But at the end of the day, you can do everything right. You can create the infrastructure. You can put the right processes in place and governance and all that. And you can bring in the best facilitator to run a brainstorming session and kick out all these fun ideas. But the moment it comes time to say yes or no to an idea, you know, if you say no because you're a little fearful or it seems risky, then it's all for nothing.
You know, Tony, when I allow myself to reflect back on all the conversations we've had in this series, I could make the case that you take away any one of these 7 C's and the whole thing falls apart. It just strikes me, though, that the whole notion of innovation is centered around courage. Should this be? Can this be? Is it the most important C?
Not for everybody, but I think for most organizations it is, because in corporate world today, everything is so efficiency driven. Things have to happen when we say they're going to happen, and we have to drive costs out of the system to maximize profit. And so there's this whole engine that's going on. And at the same time, folks within that culture are trying to create new business opportunities, disrupt markets, and that isn't easy. And it's going to take time, it's going to take energy, and it's going to take some risk. And so it's difficult for many leaders in many organizations and cultures to go from that really efficiency-driven mentality to something where it takes more time and it takes a different type of outlook to make it happen.
Well, I want to explore that a little bit further. I mean, anybody who's listening to this show who has pushed a new idea knows that that feels really risky. But there's still way too many people that just can't grapple with that uncertainty. It's so obvious when you think about it, Tony, but why does that continue to happen?
You know, I think the number one reason why it happens is simply out of fear. It's funny you ask that, because I'm reading a great book right now. It's called Everything Connects by Faisal Hoke, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. But the book is called Everything Connects, and it's about how to transform and lead in the age of creativity, innovation, and sustainability. So it's really interesting. And in this one part of the book, he talks about some research from a gentleman named Stephen Porge from the University of Illinois at Chicago. And this researcher is behind articulating things around, have you heard that phrase, lizard brain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So his research is around connecting how the brain connects to the heart and linking back to how the human brain and behaviors link back to kind of some of our earlier days in the evolution cycle. But anyway, they talk about the reptilian mind versus the mammalian mind. And the reptilian mind protects, whereas the mammalian mind connects. And so if you think about reptiles and how they've evolved over years with the thick skin, and think of a crocodile, you know, with the teeth and its armor, it's all about protecting itself from the environment and threats. whereas humans and mammals generally are much more about connecting, much more human and emotional. So to answer your question, I think there's a part of us, we still have part of that reptilian mind. We're subconsciously always on the lookout for fear. And so when we're sitting in our business environments, we're going to respond very subconsciously to something that feels risky, that might feel like a threat, that feels unknown. And I think it takes a certain mindfulness and consciousness to say, those fears are actually just, that's my ego, or it's kind of just a mental concept in my head. And I don't have to worry about those fears. I'm just having a conversation about an idea. And if a leader can get that mindful about it, it sets them up to give ideas chance to be discussed and to sprout and take hold and just experiment.
Yeah, boy, it's just so frustrating how fear still holds so many people and organizations back. All right, well, so Tony, besides overcoming fear, what other areas require courage?
Well, I think there's a couple. One would be, I think it takes courage to defend ideas. As I just said, fear is kind of a mental concept, but ideas are kind of like mental concepts as well. And sometimes it takes courage to stick your neck out and to protect an idea and defend it and protect it more than you're protecting your own hide. I think going back through from my ad agency days or even my corporate innovation or, you know, even my consulting work now, I recall moments where I was leaning in on the table and saying, no, if we want to do it right, this is what it's going to take. And in some cultures, people would pull me aside afterwards and they'd say, boy, you know, you're crazy to kind of push back on that so aggressively in front of so-and-so. But it's because I had passion for the idea. So not everybody has the courage to do that, but I really feel it's important to defend your ideas. And I think the other areas that where you need a little bit of courage is to fight for the time you need, the people, and the right resources to do things right. Sometimes it's so easy to cave when management comes to you and says, you know, we really want to move that launch date up a month so it syncs up with our sales cycle. And you can say yes, but it usually comes at an expense. And sometimes you just have to really fight for the time you need so you ensure that you don't give up those little things that might make your idea or your product go from good to great.
Yeah, hear on that. All right. Well, Tony and I will return after this quick break. We're going to be chatting with Dennis Budniewski, Executive Vice President and Director of Account Leadership and Growth with Campbell Mithun. And we're going to talk courage with Dennis. Tony and I will be right back.
This program is brought to you by Miles Finch Innovation, LLC, a creative consultancy that is passionate about ideas, imagination, and facilitating a culture of innovation. Miles Finch Innovation helps companies navigate the messy territory of corporate innovation. They're strategic thinking partners who can help you get unstuck and identify creative solutions to your toughest challenges. They also love to train and speak on the subject of creative leadership. Learn more about how they can help you at milesfinchinnovation.com. Miles Finch Innovation, idea-centric, strategically driven, humanly conscious.
All right, Todd Schnick and Tony Vengrove back with you and our special edition series, The Seven C's of Creative Leadership. As promised, we are now joined by Dennis Budniewski, Executive Vice President and Director of Account Leadership and Growth with Campbell Mithun. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi, very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Before we get into our conversation around courage, Dennis, do take a minute. Tell us about you, your background, and the work that you're doing with Campbell Mithun.
Great. About a year ago, I joined Campbell Mithun to head up the account leadership department as well as new business. Prior to that, I was at Fallon here in Minneapolis for 3 years, heading up the Cadillac account, overseeing the Fallon Detroit office and running about an 80-person team managing that account. Before Fallon, I was at an agency in North Carolina called McKinney for about 8 years, running businesses that range from Audi of North America to Quest Telecommunications and the NASDAQ stock market. And then my first 12 years in the business were with Saatchi & Saatchi in New York, where I spent most of my time cutting my teeth on various Procter & Gamble brands. So I ran the Tide account, the Pampers account, Olay, and a bunch of other ones that they had at the time.
That's great, Dennis, and welcome. We're real thrilled to have you here. And based on your credentials, boy, I mean, I'm sure you're going to share some great perspective and stories about what it takes to sell and defend and protect ideas and the courage it sometimes takes to do that. You know, before we dive into courage today, our 7th C, as you just stated, you've held executive roles at some fantastic agencies over the years. How do you view your role as a creative leader? You know, what are some of the key principles you live and breathe by?
I hold a unique role as an account person within an advertising agency, and the role has changed quite a bit over the last 2+ decades that I've been in the business. There have been several articles written about the death of the suit within advertising, but the way I define my role is this: the notion of I'm at the center of the wheel, the hub, the glue that kind of connects the clients with the creatives, with all the other departments within an agency, be it media, production, or digital, social departments now. But I think in terms of creativity, my role is to lay the foundation for running the account, but also serve as inspiration to the creative teams, to let them loose and do what they do best. And then once they come up with an amazing idea, then how do you sell it, defend it, to use things like data and analytics to prove that it works once it's in market, because it's not enough just to produce a great campaign. You actually want it to run and be in market for as long as you can. So I think probably the word inspiration is the one that really comes to mind.
Yeah, that's great. You also referenced something that has been a theme across all our interviews to date, and that's creating the conditions for creativity. So as an account person in a major leadership role, what are some of the things your creative team really responds to? How do you inspire a creative team? What are some of the conditions that they want so they can flourish?
As an account person, you want to run a tight ship, but that's table stakes nowadays. And I think the best thing that a great account person can do now is distill information. So there is so much information that's available today. It's overkill. Take the creative briefing moment. So there's a meeting where you have the creatives with all these other people from the agency. The last thing a creative needs is a data dump. So as an account person, if you're good, what you can do is distill all that information into something that's going to inspire the creatives to do amazing work. You could also bring insights into the room, consumer behavior, some little nugget that they can play off. And that's challenging. I think it's too easy now to just barf out all the information that exists, but that's not going to help the creative process.
Dennis, how do you empower creatives to not be afraid to share wild and crazy ideas? I mean, you have a who's who book of clients there through your career, and I would suspect there would be some reps that would say, "Boy, I don't want to do anything that stirs the pot and gets people spooked." But then again, it's those wild and crazy ideas that oftentimes change things. I mean, so how do you empower these guys to be fearless in throwing out interesting and intriguing ideas?
Yeah, it depends. Every situation's different, and you have to have a very strong relationship with a client to even have them receptive to hear a big, bold, creative idea. So most great creatives that I've worked with, their natural instinct is to go into the bold, innovative realm. And you want to foster that, especially as an account person or a leader within an advertising agency. It's a balancing act. So if a client comes to you and goes, "We have a $50,000 budget and we need a product demo-based spot," and you come up with a $1 million idea that's just wild and crazy, they're probably not going to buy it. But there might be strategies in between where you can show them that idea that they asked for, but also share another idea that says, "This fulfills your ask, but over here, we have a much bigger opportunity, an idea that could build your business and accelerate your growth." So that could be a strategy.
Gotcha. So here we are today talking about courage, and courage is the 7th and final C of the series. And it's the last C for a reason. In my opinion, it's courage that often separates the good from the great. I think you know this better than anybody, that truly unique, bold ideas are going to seem risky and they're going to scare people at first. And I think deep down, everybody knows that. So if everybody knows it, that a great idea is probably going to show up and make people nervous, why can't people understand that, embrace it, and give great ideas a little bit more space to sprout and grow?
Now, for me, ambition is how some folks are wired. And I think there are a lot of individuals out there that aren't very ambitious and they're not risk takers, that they're happy with the status quo. And if you look at a lot of incentive models, and this is on a personal level for our clients, if they're given targets that they have to hit, and say a 3% growth target, not very ambitious. And if they hit that target, they get their annual bonus and they're very happy and they'll continue to climb the corporate ladder. I think there are a lot of individuals that are wired that way, compensated that way, that are very happy to live in that incremental growth mentality. But then there are the individuals who are ambitious. They don't accept that plus 3% every year, and they want to do things that make a difference for the brands that they lead and personally. They don't want just the next position. They want to be CMOs or CEOs of the company. Those are the kind of people I love working with, and actually from a new business standpoint, seek out those type of clients to work with as an agency.
That's interesting. Do you think what you said there triggered another thought, Dennis? And with the pace of everything, and from a consumer perspective, people are bombarded with messages day in and day out. It's always been the case, but obviously it's much more prevalent with social and so forth. Is it almost like price of entry? If you really want to break through the clutter, that you almost have to take some courageous risks and really take a shot with some creative ideas. Otherwise, you're just going to be stuck in this incremental space of playing it safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What's interesting now is with digital and social media, I think that risk is minimized. You don't have to do what Apple did in 1984 and kind of bet the farm on one commercial in a Super Bowl. That was a huge risk for them. Obviously, it paid off. But now with digital and social, you can play smaller bets. They're just as innovative, just as breakthrough. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, you move on to the next thing. And I see clients doing more and more of that. So you're still creating breakthrough work. You're still being courageous, but the risk, it's more minimized now than it would have been, say, 10, 15 years ago.
So do you have an example of how courage played a factor in bringing a great idea to market?
Yeah, I can give you a couple. Actually, one that is fairly recent here at Campbell Mithun. It was one of the first projects that I worked on. Wellmark, Blue Cross Blue Shield, it serves a bunch of Midwestern states, is one of our clients, and the whole health insurance industry has changed dramatically over the past couple of years, especially with the introduction of the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare. So last fall, during the open enrollment season, Wellmark chose not to participate on the exchange. And as you guys can recall, the government website wasn't quite working the way it should have. And it was causing a lot of turmoil with people who needed to enroll in health insurance. But Wellmark's system was up and running. There were no problems. This has been a tried and true system for years. So we wanted to let our participants and let the people within those states know that Wellmark was up and running. If you wanted to sign up for Blue Cross Blue Shield, just go right ahead. So we did this effort, and we call it the 9 days of November, where we got a call from the client that said, hey, we want to make our consumers aware of this, that our enrollment is open and it's working flawlessly, and we want to be in market next week. So met with the creatives at about 6 o'clock on a Friday evening, and we came up with a brief. They worked all weekend, and the budget was, we just want to do some print ads and maybe a banner or two. So the creatives went to town. We came up with, I don't know, probably five different campaigns. Monday morning, we met, put them all up on the wall, and there was one campaign that was just perfect. It used a great sense of humor, and the tone just seemed right because this is a serious subject, but you don't want to make it so serious people aren't going to feel good about your brand. And we decided as a team to only present one campaign to the client, and we went way beyond just the print ads and the banners they asked for. And we came up with three television spots and a bunch of other elements. Presented to the clients that Monday, and then 9 days from that Friday, we got the call. We were in market with three TV commercials, a bunch of print ads, out of home, radio, you name it. And the campaign had the effect of doubling enrollment versus the year prior. So it had phenomenal results. It took a lot of courage from the clients to buy that campaign. They had to increase their budget for production. We had to scramble to produce the spot within that 9-day period and traffic it to get it on air. And we just found out Ad Age has a healthcare award. We just won an award. We won't find out what color the medal is until the awards in September, but we're very proud of that work.
Boy, a couple of thoughts that come out of that story, Dennis. One is, yeah, being courageous isn't just from our end. It has to have something to do with our clients as well. I mean, they have to have a courageous mindset, which is something that struck me about what you said. But I also think you went above and beyond what the expectations were. And it's almost sad to me that we look at that and say, well, that's a courageous move, when in fact, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Shouldn't we be pushing the envelope and being big and bold every chance we can?
I couldn't agree with you more. It's inherently all our jobs as marketers to kind of go beyond what you did before or what the ask is. But I think it's too easy. I mean, I think people are comfortable in the status quo or just delivering on the ask. But I think that's what separates great agencies from good agencies or great marketers from good marketers.
Yeah, you know, so Todd makes a great point, Dennis. And I think for our audience listening to the program today, you know, many of them are on the client side. So they're in roles where they're constantly receiving ideas. So for them, do you have another story that perhaps would exemplify what folks or, you know, the folks that are receiving ideas, the courage that they need to take?
Yeah. One of the best clients I've ever worked with is a woman named Molly Peck from General Motors. She was actually named one of Ad Age's top 25 women to watch a number of years ago. We had an amazing partnership with her. I ran the Cadillac account. She was the director of marketing. And one of the tasks that we had was to launch this new vehicle called the ATS. And Cadillac didn't compete in the largest segment within the luxury automotive market, and that's the entry level, the compact luxury, the BMW 3 Series, the Mercedes C-Class of the world. And it was an important launch, and very important for Cadillac as a brand, but very important for General Motors as a company as well. And it had C-level attention. So we got the brief probably a year and a half before the car was going to go in market, and we needed to come up with a breakthrough marketing campaign to create awareness for this vehicle and also to create consideration, because the 3 Series is pretty much the default choice for most consumers in that market. So I remember this really well, presenting to Molly and some of her bosses and also some of her direct reports. And the campaign we presented called ATS versus the World was by far the most challenging, extensive campaign that I've ever worked on in my career. And I remember after briefing the creatives, I got a call from our executive creative director at home really late one night. And he told me what the idea was. He gave me a sneak peek. When I got off the phone with him, I was like, holy crap, this idea is amazing. But then on the other hand, I was like, how the hell are we going to sell it and get it done? And it took a full year of working with Molly and her team to get it sold within the organization, to keep it alive, because there were so many times that the campaign could have died for so many reasons, and then to pull it off. But I think a couple lessons in that is when we presented the campaign, we presented two. We said that we need to start doing something in market today. And we came up with a campaign for that, and they loved it, and it was an easy buy, and we started executing that immediately, and we said, this campaign, ATS versus the World, is a huge idea, but it's going to take us a full year to figure it out. I think that ultimately helped sell it. The other thing was we kept the team ridiculously small. So it was either you were in with both feet or you were completely out. And we kept it, you know, somewhat secretive because, you know, the saying, there are too many cooks in the kitchen, you'll end up with a dog's breakfast. And I can't tell you how true that is. So we wanted to just limit the team both at the agency and on the client side to just the folks who needed to know. And we had a really tight-knit group that were all behind it and committed to just making it happen. And then from a results standpoint, it was phenomenal. Just back in June, we won a gold FE for the campaign.
Wow, that's great, Dennis. As you were telling the story in the beginning, you said something profound, but then you started to address it. But I want to go back to the notion that it took a year. And I think in context of innovation, time is such a critical constraint. And I think it's fascinating that you guys recognized that there's complexity to the idea. And when you came in and sold it, that was a part of your selling strategy, is to say, the only way to make this work is to give it the time it needs. Gosh, it seems to me that that's rarely something that's discussed. Many ideas die because they have to live and breathe by the constraints that are already put, that are already on a timeline someplace. So that's really fascinating. I think a big part of courage for clients, it's easier when there's trust present. Would you agree with that?
You really can't get to big, bold, creative ideas unless there's that fundamental trust there. I mean, if you're always looking over your shoulder or kind of doubting if the other party is going to deliver, you'll never get there. So trust is so important.
You know, there's a couple aspects to courage here, Dennis, from my perspective. One is what we've been talking about, and that is it takes courage sometimes to buy a kind of big, bold, audacious idea. But there's also this element that creative leaders, they almost have this sixth sense about, like your Cadillac example. They have a sixth sense that, hey, there's something to this idea and we have to give it some time and space to develop. So there's a whole notion that creative leaders have to build courage and they have to stick their necks out and almost defend ideas more than themselves at time. Any advice on how leaders can get more comfortable doing that and defending their ideas?
It's about delivering results. So there has to be some argument that this idea is worth the investment to generate results. And, you know, if the idea is big and innovative, generate results at a faster pace than an idea that's easy to buy. And there are a number of ways to do it. I think fundamentally there has to be trust, but there has to be the belief that creativity has an exponential effect on business results. If that belief isn't there, I don't think you'll ever get to breakthrough work.
And is that something you can move clients on, or is that just something that is just in someone's DNA, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's something that's in someone's DNA. They're wired that way, and I think it goes back to the ambition point. Clients are working in a culture that doesn't reward ambition. It's hard to get there.
Yes, I'm struggling with this idea of trust. I understand exactly what you mean when you say there has to be a level of trust before you can really push big, bold ideas. But for me, it's a chicken or the egg scenario. I'm going to develop trust with someone when they deliver. And sometimes delivering means you got to push a big, bold idea. I'm trying to wrestle with how this works. I mean, I get it, but I'm also struggling that sometimes you have to do something big before someone says, okay, now I really trust this guy because he's proven himself to me. How do you wrestle through that?
Like in the case of Cadillac, for the time of the relationship, by the time we had presented that idea to the clients, we had been working with them for a year and a half. So we had delivered time and time again ideas that were helping to build their business, to move down the demographic of their buyers. So through working with them, we had built that trust to create the conditions that they could be receptive and then ultimately buy a breakthrough idea. Otherwise, if you're in a new business situation, that trust comes from building a quick rapport between agency and client. It also comes from doing breakthrough work for past clients or other clients that client can look towards. It's like, oh, if you did it for X, Y, and Z clients and brands, then I have a good sense that you can do it for us.
So Dennis, in your roles over the years, you know, just like folks are sitting and judging and evaluating new product ideas and innovation ideas within their roles, you must have been in meetings where I can only imagine how many ideas have been pitched to you over your career. So if you've been sitting in your chair evaluating ideas, how have you dealt with those situations where you felt the risk and you felt that your team was pushing the envelope too much where you felt uncomfortable? I mean, how did you learn to adapt to that and shut down your own mental chatter so you could really understand what was happening or what was really behind these ideas?
Yeah, it's funny. I just had a conversation with a young account person here at Kimmel Methune exactly on that subject. Because when you have big, bold ideas, it's uncomfortable. You know, as an account person, you're going, how am I going to sell the idea? How am I going to figure out how to get it done? And that causes stress. I think the way I've dealt with it in my career is, you know, I've been fortunate to have some great mentors in the business. A woman named Marie McNeely, and I know, Tony, you know her. Mm-hmm. She was phenomenal. I worked on many P&G brands. Having the opportunity to work for someone like Pat Fallon was great. And you pick it up throughout your career, and you get comfortable with that uncertainty. Actually, for me, it makes the job a lot more fun and interesting.
I also think that there's a bit of growth, maturity, and self-awareness that has to take place because I recall back in my early ad career when those ideas came across the table that made me go, uh-oh, or like, this is a bit nuts. I found that I almost stopped listening because the gears in my head were going. It's like, it's how is this on strategy? How can we afford this bubble? You go through the laundry list of issues in your head. And I finally got to a point where I just said, you know, I have to shut that mental chatter down and really give my full attention to the idea. And that's really the only way you can really understand if it has potential and if there's any linkage back to insight, strategy, or objectives that you can find so that you have some solid footing to go pitch it to a client.
Yeah. And selling, once that idea has kind of been laid out, you got to be all in and you have to be so focused on making it happen. And if you're tentative about it, any person on your team, the clients will pick up on it. That'll cause them to be uncertain about the idea, and then you probably won't end up selling it. So everyone's got to get behind it.
It's funny how we can all sit around a table and share our mental concepts, so to speak, and get worked up over them, start talking about risk and so forth, when really there's no harm just to talk about the pros and cons of them. You know, if you can get to that comfort level and not get so freaked out, perhaps it takes a little bit of courage at first to do that and just talk about crazy things. But there's a lot of merit that can come out of it because you never know when somebody else is around the table is going to make a connection that all of a sudden makes it completely feasible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Dennis, we're getting towards the end of our time here. So why don't we wrap this up for our audience and try to give our audience some kind of pragmatic tips here to think about. for the corporate leader sitting at their table, and let's say they're the folks that know and believe in innovation and they're looking for that big, bold, disruptive idea, but can't seem to get any approved or out to market, what's some advice you can give them about taking some courageous risks?
From a client standpoint, I think it's so important for the senior leaders to be actively involved in working with the agencies and leading the briefing process and to have those relationships. I think one of the trends over the past number of years is that those relationships are getting delegated down to the brand manager, the assistant brand manager, the least experienced people on a client team. But the people who have the best insight, experience, and working and inspiring an agency are the most senior ones. So that will be my first piece of advice is at the CMO level, the senior VP, EVP of marketing, if you want breakthrough work from your agency, you got to get involved.
That's a great piece of advice, Dennis. I agree. I think and the notion of being engaged with innovation and creative leadership is a theme that we've mentioned ongoing in the series. Creative leadership and creativity is not something you can just set up the infrastructure and so forth and kind of wipe your hands and sit back and wait for the great ideas to roll in. Any last thoughts, Dennis, that you want to share with our audience about defending and protecting ideas?
It's important to keep the team small. If you want breakthrough, ambitious, innovative work, it's not going to come from a team of 25, 30, 40 people working on something. You want to figure out who are the key decision makers, who are the key leaders on your agency, and just go to town. Be willing to take that risk, create the environment for that type of breakthrough thinking, and you'll get there. It does take courage. It's not easy at times and it's hard work. But if you can stay focused, like we talked earlier, if you have the trust there, you'll get there. I think everyone can develop those big breakthrough ideas.
All right. Well, Dennis, I hate to say it, but we are about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and where can they learn more about the work you're doing at Campbell Mithun?
Absolutely. So our website is cmithun.com. And if you go under contacts, my information is up on the website. And we're constantly looking for new clients to work with. We've been growing a lot, just picked up 6 new clients in the last 6 months. And if folks are looking for big breakthrough work and have that courage, we'd love to work with them.
Dennis Budniewski, Executive Vice President and Director of Account Leadership and Growth with Campbell Mithun. Dennis, it was a pleasure to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have to go to break, but Tony and I will return shortly. We'll tie up some loose ends and share some final thoughts on courage. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by Miles Finch Innovation, LLC, a creative consultancy that cares about training teams and coaching individuals on creative leadership. They've worked on the front lines of corporate innovation and know firsthand the struggles you face day in and day out. They've walked in your shoes and they can help. Miles Finch Innovation has an engaging training program designed to teach the principles of the 7 C's of creative leadership. If you're interested in building these competencies at your company, be sure to contact them at info@milesfinchinnovation.com. Miles Finch Innovation. Idea-centric, strategically driven, humanly conscious.
All right, Todd and Tony back with you. Tony, very interesting conversation with Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dennis, as I think we said in the interview, just think about all the ideas that have been pitched to Dennis over the years and the times where he had to demonstrate courage to buy in and go sell some of these bold ideas to his clients.
A number of interesting thoughts generated from that conversation. What struck you the most?
Well, in the beginning, he mentioned something that's come up with some of our previous guests, and that was around creating the conditions. And I thought it was important to remind our audience that Dennis talked about distilling information and how in this data age, it's just not enough to do a data dump. You have to really kind of mine the information and use the data and insight to inspire people to be creative. And, you know, we talked about that in some of our previous C's around curiosity and connecting and so forth. But I think the reason why it's so important in context of courage is by the time you go to present and you're defending ideas and you're weighing the pros and cons, those insights and those objectives, those insights in the data are your friends in that context, that's what's going to help people feel more comfortable that the idea is on strategy.
When I first heard him say that, I wasn't really sure where he was going with that. But then when I realized the whole goal there is to build a stronger foundation upon which you can leap from without fear, because you know how you can back up your pitch or your idea or your story. So, I mean, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. Talk about creating the conditions. I mean, I never even realized or had thought deeply about the importance of trust in that. And it makes perfect sense when you think about it.
Yeah, I think courage and trust go hand in hand. And it's a lot easier to make a courageous decision when you trust that the folks around you have your back. And also, as Dennis said, that there's some track record with previous successes that I think that also helps increase trust.
Another interesting line of conversation was the idea that one side can't just be the courageous one. Both sides of the equation have to have some degree of courage.
Yeah. And that also ties into this notion. It's just a fact of the matter is a lot of people are very comfortable playing within the confines of the status quo, and they don't want to push outside of that. So when you're dealing with folks that are comfortable with incremental innovation, incremental ideas, it is going to take some courage, and you have to build, you know, a coalition, like a small team, like Dennis was recommending. But you have to build a coalition. You have to have data and insight on your side so you can push the envelope and have a fair shot at explaining why your big, bold idea is actually on strategy and it's not as risky as it seems.
And you and I were talking during the break, and you were suggesting how important this idea of providing time and space matters in terms of your ability to be more courageous. Walk me through that.
Yeah, well, I was floored. Dennis and I go way back, and I had heard a little bit about his Cadillac story in the past, but I had no idea that it took a whole year to really figure out how to do that idea. That just floored me, because it's rare that ideas are given that long to really prove themselves. The lesson for me, and I think for our audience, is it might take some courage to buy the time you need to do an idea right. And the cadence and the frenetic pace of our work world today, unfortunately, almost invites quick decision making. And a good creative leader has to stick their neck out a little bit and can't be afraid to say, you know what, if we really want to do this right, I need another month, I need another 6 months, I need a year to do it right. That's going to feel risky at times, but the reward could be extremely, extremely powerful.
Yeah, there's a lot of dialogue in our conversation about this idea of comfort and status quo versus being uncomfortable. It's my thought, Tony, that it's okay, and you should expect a constant level of discomfort. Because frankly, in my view, if you're not always feeling that, then I don't know that you're on the right path. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's funny. Back in my advertising days, I remember I had a mentor that once told me that if my clients weren't uncomfortable with the ideas we were bringing, then we weren't doing our job. So that person embedded in me this whole notion. The default setting for clients is play it safe. And we have to constantly push the envelope and push them towards that real creative place, which is going to make them nervous. It's going to make the other side nervous. But if you can get to a place and build that trust and work together to take the necessary steps to make sure you're not doing anything foolish by any means, it can be really, really rewarding.
All right. Tony, any final thoughts on courage?
I would just like to thank our audience. Today was the 7th C. We have one more great wrap-up session next week. But courage is the 7th C because it's really the attribute that separates the good from the great. And I would just like to remind the audience, just remember, an idea doesn't have a voice, and it's up to you, the great creative leader, to stick your neck out and defend that idea, to use all the data and insight that you can find to keep a conversation going about why your idea is on strategy. And as we just talked about, Todd, to find the courage to get the time you need to really go experiment, test, and learn, and defend these ideas.
Okay, that wraps this episode of our special edition series, The 7 C's of Creative Leadership. On behalf of today's guest, Dennis Budniewski, my co-host, Tony Vengrove, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll be back soon with our series wrap-up and a very special guest. We'll see you soon on Business in the Morning.